From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch, health, nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Pete Stoughton. I am excited to bring our next guest and ultra runner, Danny Connolly. He's a Utahn, born and bred. He is the owner and operator of Parley's Electric. He's a family man, an ultra runner, and he has frequently beaten your host here at several races. Recently, he's just finished the St. George Marathon in less than 2 hours, which is fast.
To say the least.
He did it by pushing his brother, who was in a wheelchair and has multiple sclerosis, in a modified wheelchair. He joins us to tell about it and his balance of work and life. Welcome, Danny.
Thanks, Pete. I'm really excited to be here today. Where it's this past weekend, doing that with my brother has been a huge emotional high where it's really hard to come down from, and it was a fantastic experience overall.
And we were just going to bring you on just to talk about work-life balance. And, oh, yeah, by the way, this whole St. George Marathon came about, and we've seen you on newscasts everywhere. You are a popular guy nowadays. So tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Like kind of how that happened?
Yeah.
Okay. It started with this little idea of just pushing my disabled brother. And that sort of turned into this. My brother-in-law, Jared Madsen, owns Jared Madsen Cycles, with the bucket bikes, and does really well with that. And it was amazing that he jumped on and said, you know what, why don't I make this stroller for you guys? We call it the Chariot now. But man, he made it built for speed, and it sort of turned into this, let's give Brian the wheelchair racing experience instead of the toting along in a stroller experience.
Right.
Yeah.
So Danny Connolly, you're the owner and operator of Parley's Electric. You're
yep.
an electrician yourself by trade.
Yep. Been an electrician for 20 years around town here, and started Parley's almost 8 years ago, coming up on 8 years. We have 5 employees that are awesome. They're listening right now. And we've got a great team and a great crew, and electrical work keeps us busy, that's for sure.
Well, electrical work must not keep you so busy that you can't go out and run like a full marathon in one day. I read somewhere that sometimes you go out and do a half marathon before work and then do your work day and then do the rest of the other half of the marathon after work.
Sometimes we have to split it up like that, you know? You know, and running at night, you know, it doesn't sound like a good idea, but sometimes that's the only time there is to do it, so.
That's great. What is it that impassions you so about running?
I would think that running is something that came into my life a little bit later, even after I got married and met my wife and had kids, and kind of something that sort of not more than just a pastime, but it keeps me out of trouble, really, mostly. And then I sort of fell in love with it. And then, of course, once you start finishing these races, it's a great accomplishment. But then, you know, as Pete will tell you, the competitive side of it is actually quite addicting. And so once you've won a couple of them, now it's let's go do that again.
And you have won a couple, and so you're successful in business and in your personal endeavors. And hopefully your wife would agree that at home you're successful with your family. How do you do that? How do you balance those competing interests?
Yes, it's actually a really hard thing to balance, and Katie has been, we've both been working on it, because we want to be the best parents that we can be, too. So that's kind of why the running thing sort of happens once the kids go to bed or once they are down. So early morning or late at night is lots of times when that happens. But yeah, the balance is really hard, especially, you know, work, running, family are the top three that sort of get juggled into the blender. But I think we're getting better at it, if you ask me. I think that we've had some bumps, you know, where, you know, sometimes it's really out of balance, or, you know, sometimes these long running weekends can impede on the family. And, you know, so we're just trying to come up with better ways of doing it, and including the family on running trips like that. And they've been great and shown a lot of support. And I know that these running adventures kind of drive my wife a little bit crazy, but I really appreciate her having my back with it.
Danny, you said something about running with lights, or you said running at darks, and that made me think about lights. And mm-hmm. I just had to share that every so often in the wintertime, I drive out on 224 where the White Barn is, where the cross-country ski trails are, and I'll see a light going along. And for some reason, it strikes me about these people like you who have to who do this at night, who strap a light to their head just so they can get in this thing that drives them so, that makes them feel whole by doing it. And so talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. So it's funny. You're not the first person to ask me about the running addiction, because it's really a hard thing to understand, because it's painful. It hurts. It's not fun. It's easier to sleep in. I mean, it's kind of crazy to get up and want to hurt yourself. But I think there's something about exercise and the natural high that you get. I think that might be the best way for me to explain it, is that I know if I get out an hour a day for a run, I'm a whole lot less grumpy. Mm-hmm. And I think my wife would agree with that. But I think it keeps my mood better and able to sort of take the curveballs that life throw at you a little bit easier if I have sort of that hour a day exercise in.
And do you have a way of combating fatigue? For example, what are your go-tos when it comes to nutrients and supplements and things like that?
That's a good question. So the marathon recovery is definitely a crazy game, especially once you get into the ultra running. I mean, your body is pretty beat up after a 50-mile run, and that's something that can knock you down for a few days if you're not really careful about it. I kind of think that the most important thing, that for me anyways, is to not sort of sit around like you want to. It's really easy to sort of say, I just ran 50 miles, I'm going to sit on the couch for 2 days. Well, I kind of think that sort of locks you all up, and it makes it a lot longer of a recovery. I kind of think if even just to get out for some walks and maybe even just some light jogs, sometimes even the very next day, I'll go over to the field house and just lightly jog some laps or just get outside somehow, just to sort of walk it off or run it off. Mm.
In fact, the past few times I've gone for long runs, multiple people have said to me, did you know your immune system's compromised after a long exertion? And I've laughed at them both times after long. In the last few months, on Sunday I went for a long run. Monday I came up and I was sick as a dog, and my whole family was. But so there might not be a direct correlation. But, you know, got to get out there and, you know, pound it out. For sure. So are you sick?
No, that is a very real thing. In fact, after almost every marathon and every long run I've ever done, there's been some sort of a recovery, like a nasty cold or a chest congestion. Or it's funny that your immune system is beat up. Your whole body really is beat up. Most people think it's just your legs, but it's funny that it kind of is your whole core. And even down to, you know, chest congestions, and I get kind of, you know, stuffy sinus, and you know, it's kind of funny that there's that part of recovery too, not just your muscles, but definitely that part.
Right. And then figuring out how to then make sure that you wire a building correctly.
Yes.
So that it's not going to go sick on you is even more of a challenge.
Yes.
Don't worry, quality work is top notch.
So. That's right. We got to keep the quality at work top notch, even despite doing all these crazy adventures. So.
As you two are talking about the immune system, it's making me think of when we were sitting in the green room before our show, and Pete looked at my kombucha and he said, "Ew, is that kombucha? What's that thing in the bottom?"
It did look pretty gross. Not as bad as a green smoothie, but it looked pretty gross.
And you know, athletes are often known for maybe not following the best patterns of nutrition that they could. And so I'm curious about what you do nutritionally. Because, and I'm not accusing you, Pete, you're looking at me with that look.
Yes, I am guilty as charged. I have donuts every morning. So
it's because we sort of get away with more, right? Mm-hmm. Usually you're not overweight because you do you work off, burn off so many calories. But there is that piece that says nutrition is important to keep your immune system going.
Yes.
Or do you think that's just myth?
No, I think there is something to be said about that. And you're right. Pete will tell you know, oh, just because you're an everyday runner, you're in perfect health and you eat perfectly and all this. But I would beg to differ, because you're right. We all have our weaknesses and the things that we crave. And I definitely, at least we're burning a lot of calories because I still eat a lot of calories and some greasy food and, you know, stuff that is not necessarily, you know, perfect running athlete food. But I'm a sucker for a good smoothie. I mean, I think I go in there every time I drive past the booster juice there. That lady knows me pretty well. I go in there for the same thing every day. It's pretty funny. But really, I kind of just think eating well does really help. I think over the years, I actually have sort of faded a lot more towards green food, less red meat, salmon and chicken a lot. I don't know. I think that there are some superfoods out there too. Like recently I've fallen in love with Brussels sprouts. I mean, it's funny that as a kid, I like didn't like them at all, but it's funny that, I had this guy tell me once, he's a veteran, he told me, going on a long hike. He asked me, he said, with all this marathon running, do you ever eat Brussels sprouts? I was kind of like, is that a trick question? I don't know. I don't know what he was asking me, right?
Very specific question.
But it's pretty funny. It kind of got me into thinking about that there are a lot of superfoods that are green that grow from the earth. And I think it's really cool that I've been kind of getting into with them and falling in love with them.
Yeah. Good. Well, let's get into some talk about the St. George Marathon and your brother, Brian. At what point was he diagnosed with MS, and why is he in a wheelchair? Because as we know, MS affects different people very differently
in
across
different ways.
The spectrum.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So in Brian's case, at the time he was the youngest diagnosed in Utah when he was 14 years old. And that would have been 30-something years ago, 35 if I'm right. He's 47 now. But it's funny because I remember him in high school as the top head cheerleader. He was the cheerleader that could do double back handsprings down the basketball court and in backflips and, you know, stuff that I always thought I couldn't even do that on a trampoline or off of a diving board. I'm kind of funny about flips. I can't do them. But that my brother was always really good at it. And then so to slowly watch the MS take over is kind of a saddening thing because, you know, people say, oh, Brian's still okay. He can still get around. He can still make do. You know, he can still drive. He can still walk or, you know, but slowly but surely, it just got gradually worse and worse. And now there is no driving and now there is no walking. His legs are completely gone now, but he does have use of his arms and then mentally and with his face, everything is like he can carry on a great conversation. He's still the funny, witty guy that we love him for. But it's just sad that it's really mostly in his lower body. Mm-hmm. His hands are a lot slower, too. I mean, you'll see him drop his phone a lot now and these kind of things. But, you know, like, for example, at the Christmas party this past year, to get him upstairs into the hot tub, it took all my brothers to actually carry him up there and set him in there because he's, for lack of a better word, to get him around, he's dead weight. He can't be picked or maneuver his body with his legs at all. So maybe that's where this idea came from, to push him in a marathon, give him the same experience that that we get out of that. But to watch what it spiraled into was actually what is like emotionally incredible. Because all of a sudden these people started backing us up and we want to hear about that. That's so cool. And, you know, I have friends that I didn't know that so many of their family members have MS too. So I'm getting contacted by people that are also in the same boat. Like, this is really cool that you're raising awareness for something like this. And then having gone through the whole St. George experience and actually doing it without, you know, crashing or having an accident or crossing that finish line and doing what we did, I like to think we did something a little bit amazing by breaking 2 hours. I thought that was an ambitious goal, but Jared was adamant that, you know, I've made you something that you could definitely come in before 2 hours on something like this, you know. And I think one deceiving part of it is, oh, you'll get to, you know, rest on the downhills, you know, just hop on these foot pegs and you can ride this thing. Well, that's actually kind of exhausting to, you know, be crunched over in a tuck position going downhill. So there was no rest, you know, during all that, you know.
Unless you're a little scared, you're going 40 miles an hour downhill.
There's two good hills after Veo, and I bet on both of those hills we probably topped out at 40 and then tried to ride it out before we had to start actually pushing again, because the uphills and the flats were definitely a workout, very different than just normal running. But, you know, there was some of that on the down where, okay, let's see if we can ride some of this and try to keep your finger off the brake. I mean, my finger was on the brake going, hold this, don't hit it. And there's a part of me that didn't want to hit the brake because it might cause you to wobble or this kind of thing. So I'm kind of glad that we rode it out and then was able to kind of, you know, come back to that slower, you know, groove of what we were doing. But definitely exciting. I'll never forget that, those downhills. There was actually this highway patrol motorcycle guy. It was like he was sitting there waiting for us. But as soon as we passed him, he jumped right
on
it.
Lights.
He turned on his lights and he spotted us. And it felt really comforting too, because it was, mind you, it was kind of quiet, you know, and we're before all the runners. So we're passing these aid stations really kind of quiet until we get up there and Brian starts honking his horn. And that was really one of the biggest hits of that chariot, is he had this little horn on it, you know. So we got a bunch of cheers as we come through the aid stations. But we were kind of coming up on people kind of quietly because we're not making much noise. So the way that officer had his lights on and kind of spotted us, it really made me feel a lot safer about how fast we were actually going.
Wow. And it's a shared experience too. I mean, it's with your brother, and for him, not just he's joined you for the St. George before. Is that correct?
So Brian has never run or participated in anything like that.
Okay.
But it was cool that to get him in this, and then it was all my family that kind of got on board and kind of made a family reunion out of it. And then we had a pretty good cheering section there at the finish line with friends and family to watch him come in.
So. Excellent. So I know that you were considering, or you were hoping to qualify for the Boston Marathon, which I think a lot of people run the St. George Marathon in order to do just that. Mm-hmm. But you're unsure about whether or not your chariot is going to be able to make it, because it's a little out of the...
So Boston does allow team duos in the adaptive division.
Oh, great.
They do 10 per year, the way I understand it. I've been kind of researching it to see if we qualify. And even if we have to, we just don't know if they're going to say, hey, you know, if you're going to actually ride for some of the downhill, maybe they'll say, this is too much of a liability. We can't allow that. So we're really going to try to be careful with how we submit our application and our registration, and try to include some of the positive things that have come out of this, all this coverage that have come out of it. And we really hope that the Boston Marathon will let us in and sort of open the door for more athletes like this to do it the way that we're doing it. And maybe it'll be a whole nother category. I don't know. But we're kind of taking the adaptive division to the next level, and we're hoping that Boston will jump on board with that.
How does that compare with the previous existing times for adaptive?
So adaptive, if you get on there's actually, you know, Team Hoyt, everybody's familiar with that. If you get on there's actually some pretty good times. Lots of teams have broken three before. But the way that I understand it is that they base it solely on the runner for the qualifying time. So my age bracket would be a 309. So that was kind of our goal with St. George, was if we can come in 309, technically that's my qualifying time. But now with the whole riding it thing and all this, we're just going to be, you know, see what happens. I think the finishing times for a team adaptives are anywhere from 3 to 6 hours.
Well, congratulations on your fastest time and your brother's fastest time, and luck with the Boston qualifying.
Cool.
And let us know how it
goes. Yeah, definitely keep everybody updated on that. We'll see how that goes.
All right. Danny Connolly, thanks so much for joining us today on The Mountain Life. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life. If you missed part of the show or want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab. We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows. Wherever you find your podcasts, you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name. So look for KPCW The Mountain Life and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.